From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. First hour, a lot of fun. If you missed any of it, shame on you. But don't hold on to that shame too long. Just download the podcast, Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. It's a lot of fun. I think you're going to like it. We got a lot to get to, but before we get to it, I'm going to play you a trivia clip. Lisa Brooks joins us now. Lisa, welcome.
Hello.
Matt Butler also joins us now.
Good
Matt,
evening.
Welcome. I'm going to play you guys a trivia clip. You can both take a guess at it. I don't know if either of you knew this one immediately. I don't think you've heard it yet. And Lisa and Matt, I don't know if you know this one. I was watching your face when I played it earlier. I don't know if you know it. But I'm going to play the clip, then you guys take a guess. Ready? Here we go.
This case is talking to us. I'm a peacock, Captain. You got to let me fly on this one.
You know what, Terry? Let's just settle this. Peacocks don't fly.
They fly a little bit. Yeah. They get a real running
About
start.
As much as a penguin. One more thing. Do me a favor. Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Is that accidental, or are you trying to quote TLC on purpose?
I don't even understand the reference.
You don't understand what you said?
I don't know what that is. Get out.
Any guesses? You guys want to take a guess? Do you know? Can you name the actors?
I think Will Ferrell's one of them.
Will Ferrell's in one of them, yeah. That's pretty obvious.
The guy that was talking about peacocks, is that like...
Used to be a boy band. Not a boy band. Used to be a pop star. Used to be a Calvin Klein model. Used to be...
Not Justin Timberlake.
No.
No, I don't know.
Mark Wahlberg. Marky Mark.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And the other guy's Michael Keaton.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Matt, any guesses?
I have no idea. I recognize the voices, but I don't know the film.
Have you guys seen a movie called The Other Guys?
No.
With Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell?
No.
My gosh. So good. Both you guys have to go watch it this week.
Never
watch
heard
it this
of
weekend.
It.
We can talk about
when
it next week.
When did it
week.
Come out?
Came out probably 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really funny. Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell play like two partners in New York. They're cops. They don't want to be partners, and they're kind of like the biggest losers on the entire force. And they have to team up and solve a crime.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. It's really, really funny. Like, it's really, really good. And Michael Keaton is Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Everything he's in.
He's a genius.
He just shines. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. And we're also getting a bunch of text messages. We talked about this guy last segment. He's a young guy. He is not happy about his situation in life right now. And we got a bunch of text messages from people who feel really passionate that I'm not being kind to this young man. I'm not being mean to this young guy either. All I'm saying is I think he can do better than he's saying he's doing. And I think that given time, which is his greatest asset, he will eventually figure out how to have the life that he dreams of. And we live in an amazing country where someday, if he wants to, he can have that life. It would include, though, right now at 22, I assume he's 22. I can't verify that. But at 22, he's complaining, 22-ish, he's complaining on TikTok about not being able to afford to live alone. I didn't live alone. I can actually never remember living alone. The only time I ever lived alone was in college when I was an RA when I was in college. And they gave me my own room as
you
part of-
You were a narc?
No.
You were a narc?
No, I was not a narc. I was an RA. I was a very responsible college student.
RAs are narcs.
No, they're not. They're cool. Like, RAs is the coolest job there is. It's very cool. Here's the thing about being an RA.
What?
You get paid to be a student, which is phenomenal. I got free room and board, which was saved me like $13,000 a year.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Narc.
There are... Oh, man, Lisa. That's not nice. Yes, did I have to narc on people sometimes? Yes.
Yes.
Was it my job to walk around the hallways and if I smelled any marijuana, did I have to report it?
Yes.
Did I always? No.
Okay.
Because that would have been...
Yeah, school in Hawaii, wouldn't that be like half the dorm?
It was half the dorm, actually. Yeah. No, you're totally right. It would have made my job very, very difficult. And so when somebody was smoking weed... I would simply walk away. I would say, hey, guys, I'll see you later. That's just the way it works. But whatever. Yeah, you're right. It's Hawaii. All right. So I think this guy can do it. We got a text message. I don't know. I feel like reading this text message. I don't want to encourage people who disagree all the time to feel like this is their place to vent. But I do want to address a few of the things they said. So I'm going to play you a 10-second clip of this guy screaming about on TikTok about not being able to afford rent. And then I'm going to read you guys this text message. I'm going to get your guys' response to it. If you care to pipe in on this, you may not care to. And then we will get to the news roundup. But I just feel like I want to address this because this is a genuine text. I don't think they're yelling at me here, but I do feel like I want to pay them the respect of answering them. So I will do that in just a second. First, here's the guy talking on TikTok.
I am so tired of people being complacent with this uniparty, both of them f***ing us over. When my parents were my age, they both made less than half of what I make, and they lived alone. I cannot afford to live anywhere alone. A one-bedroom apartment, $1,800. Two-bedroom apartment, $2,200. Who the f*** can afford that?
So, okay, I got a note from a guy over the break. He says this. I assume it's a guy. I don't know. He says, Kyra Knights, are you kidding me? You seriously think that being forced to live in a moldy, tiny room with multiple roommates for a lot of money is an acceptable way to live in the United States in 2024? No, that did not happen to me in 2024. That was my situation in 2008, which is, you know.
Life was very different. Rents were very different in 2008. I wouldn't say they were rock bottom, but it was very different.
Well, that's what happens with time. Yeah. I mean, like, it was cheaper back then, and yes, it's more expensive now.
But they've gone up exponentially.
I understand that. I'm not trying to deny that they have not gone up exponentially. But what this guy's complaining about in his early 20s is that he wants to live alone, which I don't think is, actually, I don't think is super financially responsible for a 20-year-old to live
alone.
Maybe
he's a jerk and nobody will live with him.
I didn't say it. Lisa said it. Again, I'm like a nice guy, so I would never say that. But I do think that for this young guy, my recommendation to him would be the same that I would recommend for my kids. I would say, listen, there are ways to make life cheaper for yourself, like becoming an RA in college. You can save a lot of money. Another way that you can save money is to get roommates, like I did. I had four roommates. And then after I had roommates, the only reason I moved out of that place is because I met my lovely wife. I fell in love. We got married. And it would be strange if I lived with four roommates and my wife, mm-hmm, although we considered it, not seriously. But
it's a great plot for a sitcom, though.
It is a great plot for a sitcom. But we decided to move out on our own, and we lived in many, many different places that were crappy and awful. And that is just the way of it sometimes. If you want to live in the big city, you pay big city prices. And if you don't want to live in the big city, then you find a way to get out of town, which is what my wife and I did when we said, hey, you know what? When we want to buy a house for our kids to make sure they have the area to run around and play, we can't afford that in Seattle. Seattle's very expensive, so let's move out of town. And we did, and we're very happy with our decision. That's what I would suggest for this guy. This guy texted me right now. I would say, listen, I don't think you should go and live in a horrible place that's got mold everywhere. That was more of a joke. Sometimes I say things to be funny on the show. What I would say is there's nothing wrong with having roommates. There's nothing wrong with also, if you can't afford to live in the big city because it has gotten exponentially more expensive, as Lisa just said, and she's totally right about that. It's gotten very pricey. The average person walking around Seattle right now who works for Amazon, they're making like well into six figures. Yep. And so when you have a lot of people in a very expensive area, especially a very expensive tech area, things are going to get really expensive. That's just the way it goes. They can't solve that problem by yelling about it on TikTok. What they can do is go find some roommates, save as much money as you possibly can, and then someday, maybe you can live on your own. Or better yet, find somebody to spend your life with, and then everything gets half as expensive. That would be my advice to this person, since they wanted to text in. And I know that there's mental health issues out there. This person says, as mental health continues to decline, you say, let's just keep screwing over everyone. No, that's not what I'm saying. They said, I understand that the young man raging. I'm angry too. I'm 30 years old. I have a bachelor's degree. I make $23 an hour, and I just did my budgeting, and I make negative $175 a month. Wake up, this person texted me. I grew up poor. I've been poor my whole life, and every year my mental health seems to get worse. I can't believe you think this is okay. Again, I don't think this is okay. What I think, though, is if you're negative $175 a month, if you have the opportunity to move back in with mom and dad, as unsexy as that sounds, I did it for a while. It's totally doable. Believe me. The other thing, you could save a ton of money in ways that you're not even thinking about saving money right now. There are really cheap phone plans that you can buy. So you can be on a month-to-month phone plan. Do you know what it costs to be on Mint Mobile?
$15 a month.
$15 a month. My wife and I switched over to it. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm on it too.
You're on it too.
Absolutely.
Because you and I value the dollar.
It's $15 a month.
It's $15 a month. You get the same great service. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. And I'm paying a third of what I was paying for my old phone, which was also very cheap at $45 a month. Mm-hmm. There are a million ways to save. This guy could also not have cable if he lives alone. I don't know what this guy's making right now.
Who has cable anymore?
I don't know. I cut cable a long time ago. Yeah. I'm all streaming. I'm all internet.
Yeah.
That's another way to save a ton of money.
Yep.
There are ways to do it. It may not be comfortable. You might have to eat beans every night, which I've done. There's just a lot of ways that you can save money. A lot of people don't want to do these things because they feel like it's beneath them. You can get second jobs, which I've done. I've gotten third jobs.
Third jobs. I was just going to say you can do that too. Yep.
Take every opportunity you can to get ahead in life while you can, while you're young. Like the greatest asset this 23-year-old has that just texted into me, and I didn't mean to like rant about this. The greatest asset this person has is that they're 23 years old. And God forbid something poor happens to their health. But if nothing happens like that, they have a long life ahead of them. They can make amazing choices financially right now that will greatly benefit them for the rest of their lives. And don't complain about it. That's the other things. Like, who cares? Everyone went through exactly what you're going through right now, and they all figured it out. So I know you can too. Thank you for the text message. I sincerely believe in you. This is not me like condemning this person at all. I think this person can be a great success someday. It just may happen a little slower than they like, which is the way that life works. All right, let's get to the news roundup. Seattle's Morning News was talking about tax season, and there's a lot of scams out there.
The most common tax scams are the TurboTax scam. It comes in the form of an email where someone is asking you to update your banking information. People see it, they log on, they think, oh, this is legit, and then they get their banking information, and then boom. Next one is a fake accountant, which is what happened to me. Someone pretending to be a CPA who promises unusually high refund returns. So don't follow the gang if they say, I got a guy and I'm getting high returns. Okay.
Well, how do you know if somebody's legit? They could show you a license that they printed out that's fake. They could, I mean, how?
That's a really good point. Like this, I feel like I'm particularly susceptible to this type of thing. If somebody's lying right to my face, I just cannot believe that somebody would have the gall to lie right to my face. So I would tend to believe them, especially if they pulled out like a certificate. And maybe that's like when I should start asking questions, like if somebody feels the need to show me a certificate that they have on them.
But if you, yeah, I don't, how, it'll be interesting. Does, do they continue to, she,
I guess we explain can play the rest how of the, we yeah, can play the rest of the clip.
Well, do a simple Google search.
Better Business Bureau or something?
Absolutely. Go to the Better Business Bureau because chances are there's going to be other people who've been scammed and they're going to report it. IRS phone calls from scammers saying you owe and that you're going to end up with a lien on property or seize your bank account. And people are like, no. And they say, well, you pay this now and we'll stop the lien. Well, just so you know, the IRS will never phone call you.
No.
They'll never call you. Right. They'll send you a letter with a code so that way you can call in. Also, the employee retention credit. This is another big one. This is a big scam. The ERC, we know it's a tax credit for businesses that retained employees during COVID, right? Well, scammers are going to post. They're posting ads on social media. They're claiming that they can help you. They can even help those who are not eligible. Hello, that should be a red flag.
This is really scary. The idea of these, I mean, these scammers are getting really good. Yeah. Have you guys experienced this? Matt, have you experienced this?
Fortunately, no, but I do know that they were pretty good when I came to Seattle and was looking for a place to live. I almost got taken by one of those guys.
And that, yes, yeah. Yes, that
fake
does
ads.
Happen.
Yeah, listing properties that weren't theirs and they didn't have any authority to rent.
Isn't that crazy that somebody would be able to do that and pull it off?
They were very convincing at first, yeah.
I've tried to buy things before online, like back in the day, like back in Craigslist times, where you reach out to somebody who's got something for sale, and I don't know how they're exchanging money with people before people are seeing these items that they're trying to purchase, cars or whatnot. But some people must go in for it because these guys are everywhere on all these different apps.
Well, it's tough to tell. I recently lost $100. It could have been a lot worse before I wisened up on a puppy dog scam.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw there was this dog that
looked
perfect, and right after I lost my dog Motley, I found this other Lhasa Apso through a Facebook group that I had been a member of, and this dog looked legit, and the woman sounded legit, and so she said, you know, send me some money to hold down.
Like a Venmo or something?
Yeah, so I Venmoed $100, and then there was, and then she said, well, we'll bring you the dog, you'll meet us a couple of days later after we've taken him to the vet because to get updated on the shots. Next thing I know, she's asking me, you know, for the money to pay for the shots for, now that's, you need to spend me $500 right now. We're at the vet right now.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want us to not? And I said, what vet are you at? So I called the vet. Not only had they not heard of the woman, they never had anybody
smart
like that on their record. And so I said, you're scamming me. And then she gets really, 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 really violent.
Just indignant with you. Like, yes. How dare you accuse me of scamming you?
Exactly.
And you said, all right, well, meet me somewhere. I'll give you the money.
No, I didn't
for
say
the dog.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I just cut her off. I didn't get the $100 back, but it was so clearly a scam. And there's a lot of them out there.
I feel bad for elderly folks out there who get messages, because I get messages on my phone all the time that I just kind of like swipe away just as you realize. You see, like, they'll like mess with, they'll make it look like an official email, but one little thing will be off. It'll be like, if it looks like an Apple email, they'll be like, oh, somebody's messing with your account at Apple, whatever, at AppleUSStore.com. And you go like, well, that's not Apple's website. But if I'm a person of a certain age, I wouldn't necessarily know to look for that. And so I might respond. And often what they're looking for is like they just want personal information, or they would say, can you update your credit card info with us, or can we verify that you have the right credit card information? This has happened to people that I know who are over a certain age, and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is scary.
I regularly get emails that are supposedly from a friend of mine that says, look, I finally uploaded the pictures to the internet. That's what the text line says in it. And if I click on the person's name, it is clearly not their email address. It is somebody else's email address.
Yeah.
Always do that.
Isn't this scary?
It is.
It is like, scary. Shame on these people for taking advantage of us. Just because we're nice.
We're nice.
We're nice people. Do we have time for one more,
Matt? Yeah, let's do one more.
All right, let's do one more. Your pick. Gene Ursula, Jack Spike, John Sherry. What do you want?
John Sherry.
John Sherry. People that were bullies as kids end up being more successful in life. Oh, no.
It doesn't come as a great shock to me that the people that bullied other kids coming up through grade school, middle school, and high school end up being successful later on in life. Why wouldn't they be?
Well, you are told as a child, don't let them bother you. They're going to fail in real life because they've been such a bully and are disliked and all of that. But they did this study in the UK. It was 5 decades. They started when these kids were like 10 years old in 1970, and they examined data from 1980 up to 2016. So they were 46 years old, and they realized that these kids that were very aggressive, that had, you know, tendencies to pick fights and bully, they led to better paying jobs. They had higher satisfaction on the job, and they had more desirable jobs. Whereas the kids that had issues with attention, peer relationships, and emotional instability were earning quite a bit less.
That's really, I understand on the face why that would feel depressing to learn that. But I also understand that kids are kids, and something you do when you're 7, 8, 10, 12 years old shouldn't define you for the rest of your life. So I understand, like, as a child, I might root against that bully to be successful in life. But as an adult, looking back now that I have kids, I would go like, well, clearly I don't want that small child who might be going through a difficult time at home and is now taking it out on their classmates. I don't want them to not be successful in life just because they pay, you know, just because they gave somebody a wedgie at school. That's ridiculous. And like, yeah, it makes sense that these kids can be just as successful.
Yeah, I kind of want to see the data on that study too, if something seems a little off on that.
I wonder how much of it is like these kids are, you know, they are comfortable being aggressive and life rewards people who are kind of aggressive, you know?
Right, like innate tendencies in their personality type.
Yes.
Yeah,
like, you know, like you've heard that fortune favors the bold.
Right.
So like somebody who gets out there and puts himself out there, more than likely, they're eventually going to stumble upon a good situation, you know? Yeah, that's interesting. It's okay, bullies, when you're kids. Just, you know, you can grow out of it. Don't be bullies, though. Don't be a bully when you're a kid. All right, we got a lot more coming up. So stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. All right, we didn't have a chance to get to like half of these news roundup clips, so I'm going to throw out what I had pre-planned, and instead I'm going to get to these. And it's fun to chat. So we're going to play these real fast. All right, Gene Ursula Show, should the first spouse be paid for their duties? I'm assuming that they're talking about first spouse as in Jill Biden, right? Let's hear about it.
And so, gee, it brings up the question of whether political spouses should also get paid. And I'm going to limit this conversation to either first ladies of the state, like Trudy Inslee, or the first lady of the United States, who is also not paid. What say you?
Before I answer that, I want to embarrass myself for a second. I was today years old, right? When I've never thought about them getting a check. Like, it never has dawned on me, like, hey, I wonder with, you know, President Joe Biden's wife, Jill Biden, the first lady, I wonder how much money I've never thought that way.
Because she doesn't get any checks.
When Michelle Obama was doing all these things, I never thought about her check. So that's one. Two, yes, they should get paid. Absolutely. How in the world are we in a situation where we just say, oh, the first lady, that's her job to just assist her husband with no check?
So what do you guys think about that? Should the first lady be paid for their work? Matt, what do you think?
Well, I always ask myself the question, what would happen if she didn't? If what would happen by her not doing it would be a problem, then she should probably get paid for it because it's work.
So you think, like, if the job is like requires her to do
right.
stuff,
right?
If instead it's required, of her just saying, like, I'm just gonna like pull back a little bit and not do as much.
Yeah, get paid for what you do.
Yeah, Lisa, what do you think?
Maybe that's why Melania didn't do anything, because she wasn't getting paid. And Donald Trump is such a capitalist.
Yeah, maybe.
That could be.
She did some stuff, though. I saw her doing some stuff from time to time.
A little bit of stuff, that's anti-bullying thing that she did.
The Be Best initiative.
Be Best. Be Best.
Yeah, that's something. I think she had some decorating done in the White House as well.
We get schedules for the second gentleman and for first lady, Dr. Jill Biden, to the newsroom. We see everything that they're going to do every day. And it's a lot. They go all over the place.
Is it, to Matt's point, though, is it mandatory work? Are they required to do this work, or are they doing it voluntarily?
I think you can, well, obviously, I think you can do as much or as little as you feel you're called to do.
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying, Matt, in that it's not a requirement. Nobody's electing them to be the first. I mean, you are electing kind of a package deal. Generally, when we elect our presidents, we're electing like families that we really like. I mean, like you look at like JFK and you go like, oh, right, well, we really loved his wife and we love seeing all that at the home stuff. And so but should they be paid for their work? I would say no. There are a ton of benefits to being in the office of the president of the United States. So one, they make $400,000 a year, which isn't chump change. It's not a ton, but like, you know, for the highest office in the land, you don't want the motivation for that job to be getting rich. So they don't keep it like really, really high, but that's not nothing. That's 400 grand a year is pretty good money. And you get a house to live in, which is also pretty nice. And you get a full staff of people to do everything you want to do. And you get access to Air Force One. There's a lot of perks to the job. So it's not like you're not getting paid. And you also get a $50,000 allowance to uphold the duties of the office that might come with, you know, it's a unique job. So there's certain things that you have to do. You have to wear certain types of clothing for state dinners. So they're going to make sure that you look nice, things like that. There are also, if you can figure out how to become president, I don't think there is a single person who has ever been president who hasn't been phenomenally wealthy, at least in the modern age, when they leave the White House.
That's very true.
So you're not getting paid maybe up front, but on the back end.
Jimmy Carter still went back to live in that same house in Plains, Georgia, where he's been.
I wouldn't necessarily
forever.
Consider him in the modern age, if I'm being completely
really?
Honest. Yeah, I mean, he was back in the 1970s.
1976?
Yeah, I'm talking about, like, you know, you look at George W.
Yeah.
You look at the Obamas. They now, like when you leave the White House now, you sign $20 million book deals.
Yeah, and speaking fees. Don't
you
forget
You have speaking
those.
Fees that make you millions of dollars a year.
Yeah.
I think Hillary's speaking fees at one point were like, weren't they like $500,000
a
speech?
They were a lot of money. I don't remember the amount, but
it's a lot of money. They make a lot of money. So you get a lot of access when you are either first lady or first gentleman, if there is ever a first gentleman, which
so
I'm sure there will be.
Compensation, it's just not in cash.
You're getting a lot of compensation.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're instantly one of the most famous, desirable people in the world. You can parlay that, unless you're a complete dum-dum, which you probably aren't because you've figured out how to get into the White House, you can parlay that into a lot of money after the White House. So I think, I don't know if the American people need to give you extra money.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I listened to G, and I never really thought about it either.
So you can get, like, think about this. Like, when somebody leaves the White House, the Obamas have a phenomenal Netflix deal.
Oh, yeah, right.
You can make, you can just make a ton of money.
They are creating content and doing quite well.
They're doing quite well.
And Michelle Obama, by the way, is a recipient of the Gracie Award this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who else do I know that was also a recipient of the Gracie Award?
I don't know.
Whatever. Was it Lisa Brooks?
Was it?
Yes, it was. Congratulations.
Thank you. Anyway.
All right. So we're kind of split on that one. We feel unsure.
It doesn't upset me deeply if it happened, but it's not a cause I'm going to take up. I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, it's not a hill you're going to die on that they need to be paid.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't think they should be paid. I think they should just do it out of the goodness of their heart. All right, Jack and Spike, we're talking about somebody sneaking snacks in the office. What's this one about?
I think we need to get to the bottom of this, Andrew, because it can't. I know it's not certain people in the room, because certain people are not, let us just say, as well remunerated as others of us are in terms of our labor that we put into this building. So who could it possibly be? Is it young Jacob Rummel? Top of the list.
No way. Jacob?
Middle management.
I'm going to give you a little context for this because I feel like we kind of aren't fully there yet. But I think somebody has been sneak. This is like a little, you know, behind the scenes. Apparently somebody's been sneaking snacks and not paying for them from our company store. We have like one of those company shops.
An honor system, yeah.
It's an honor system. They have like a checkout machine where you can like self-checkout. You're supposed to scan your items and then pay for them. There's a bunch of stuff. It's like all the stuff that you can get at like a snacky shop. And apparently somebody's not paying for them. And this has a bunch of company emails flying around. Mm-hmm. People asking a lot of questions. There's a shady character about.
He started lifting again. His calories have to go up, right?
No. He is a rule follower's rule follower.
But that's
He's
the perfect
the guy
cover,
in the front
John.
Of the class. Didn't I don't you like say to you were going to give his homework over the weekend? Yeah, that's Jacob.
Okay.
Does anybody in the building possess Jedi skills? Because I think because if they don't have the guy caught yet, he's looking at the camera and says, this is not.
I think I know who it is, by the way.
The candy bar you see.
No, it's got to be a sleeper cell. It's got to be
somebody working at night. It's somebody working at night.
Is it Mr. Butler, mayhap? Matt Butler? But Matt Butler is like Green Acres in encapsulated, right? He's like, you know, Eddie Haskell personified. It can't be Mr. Butler, can it?
I don't think it is.
No, I mean.
I don't think you're an Eddie Haskell. No, I don't think that's the case.
I don't know about that.
No, Eddie Haskell's kind of a. He's like a, Eddie Haskell's a suck up.
Suck up, yeah.
No, I don't think it,
he's
I don't
not
think
an
a suck
Eddie
up,
Haskell.
Matt.
It's got to be somebody. We got to really get to the bottom of this and figure out who is stealing food out of
Ask Marin, and she probably has the video already.
I got
they're
it.
Not gonna, they're not going to snick. Who? Who is it?
It's Brian Buckaloo. He's the only person with the passcode to the camera who can shut it down. You see what I'm saying?
He can have the whole hard drive wiped. Kenny.
Yes.
Brian's our boss.
Mr. Buckaloo. Yes. I think we've got
Hillary in there to smash it with a hammer.
Put some bleach on it. Yeah.
You mean wipe it with a cloth? That's what Brian says every time. I think we figured out it was. And guess who's not here today? Coincidentally, Brian Buckaloo taking the day off on the day we finally get to the bottom of this bruise.
Sugar coma.
Got him.
Who did you think it was, Lisa?
I'm pretty sure it's John Curley.
You think it's John? Matt, who do you think it is? Do you think it's John?
I don't know, but they knocked out a list of names there, and he's the one tossing out a lot of blame there, so it could be.
Here's what I know for a fact, and I don't know if he still does this, but when I used to work here, when I was Dory's producer, mm-hmm. and when this snack shop, they like built this thing downstairs in our building, and what John used to do, and he got in trouble for this back in the day, and it was hilarious, and we all knew that he was doing it, and we all thought it was very funny, and he was cavalier because he's like one of the big radio hosts here, so everybody just kind of went, oh, John's funny, and it was funny, so I don't fault him for this at all. He would go down into the snack room, and he never had time to pay for it because the machine is tedious and it's cumbersome and you don't want to have to like put your card in, and oftentimes you swipe your card, it goes and the card doesn't work, so you have to swipe it again. So what John used to just go down and do, because he knew there was a camera on him, he would just go down to the snack room with like 30 seconds left in the commercial break, and he would go like, oh, I feel like having a donut, or oh, I want a soda pop. So he would go down, he would grab it, and then he would just walk by the camera and he would hold it up and he'd go, charge me.
Oh,
and he did this for months.
Oh, John.
And I remember back in the day, like finally they sent out a big company email. There was like big scandal and we all, like nobody cares.
Yeah.
And so the company like added it up and they were like, John, you owe us like $950 for this month for snacks that he would go down and take. And it was hilarious. And I think he paid his bill, so it actually worked.
Well, at least he paid his bill.
And he was basically like that's what Amazon adopted. Like Amazon started doing that where you could just like walk pick up out. The things and walk out. And
I
the
think
camera
they've given up on that for some reason.
They
I
have
can't
given
imagine
up on
why.
It. You're right.
That's true.
You're right. They're not doing that anymore. Probably because they saw what happened with John, which is just yeah. drove everybody crazy.
John, you wrecked it for everyone.
Well, I don't know. Or he's a trendsetter. And, you know, I wish that we could all do that. That sounds nice. Just hold up the things, honor system. But that's not the way it works. Is it John? Is it not John? You don't care. So we're going to move on. All right. Thank you guys so much for hanging out for News Roundup. That's it. We got to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have a lot of other stuff. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. We've got a lot of text messages on the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. If you guys want to join the conversation, 888-973-5476. A lot of people agreeing with us that the first spouse, whether it be lady, it's always been lady, but someday it'll be a man. Should they be paid for their work? Most people are saying no, because that is not an elected position. They come with the person that we're electing. So they shouldn't be paid. Also, as we discussed here just a minute ago, there's a lot of perks to the job, and they should enjoy those perks, but we shouldn't be paying for them. All right, this was kind of interesting. Do you guys remember when The Rock was saying, speaking of the first couple, when The Rock was saying that he is not going to be endorsing Biden as president this go-around? He did endorse Biden back in 2020, but he says, you know what? It just caused a lot of division. He just doesn't feel like he wants to do that again.
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, you know, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and it's my job then. I felt like that then. It's my job now to exercise my influence and share with this is who I'm going to endorse. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no.
So he says no. Basically, he just says, listen, it causes a lot of division. There's a lot of people out there who don't want to hear my opinion on politics, and maybe I should just leave that to people themselves to think about who they want to vote for. Former ESPN commentator Jemele Hill, she's not happy with The Rock's non-endorsement of President Biden.
I don't understand how Joe Biden is the divisive one when what he's running against is pushing bigotry, xenophobia, every other phobia and ism you could possibly name. That is what they're literally campaigning on. Joe Biden is not campaigning on those same things. And so I don't even understand how Joe Biden got attacked for being the one who's dividing people. If he wants to stop the division, then he shouldn't at all make it seem like he is aligned with the side that is pushing only division. That's their entire agenda.
I didn't get that sense from The Rock's comment. I didn't get the sense that he was saying, I endorse Trump. I really took more from it like he was just saying, listen, you people are smart enough to make your own decisions. You don't need a Hollywood actor telling you how to vote, which makes sense to me. I don't think he was saying he's endorsing Trump. He's just saying, I'm not endorsing anyone. I'm going to stay out of it. I'm going to be smart. He was probably saying what we're all saying, which is that we don't like either of these guys. And that's just what we're kind of left with. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. 9 p.m. hours, really, where we can kind of have some fun. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.